China's Big Ways.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Everything about China is huge. The cities, the land, the economic growth. Today, a bank in China debuted as a public company, and it's the biggest IPO the world has ever seen. Shares of the Industrial and Commercial Bank of China shot up 17% in Hong Kong, 10% in Shanghai. From Beijing, Ruth Kirshner reports.
ICBC's trading debut is perhaps the most significant step in the government's efforts to transform the country's state-run lenders into commercial banks. Like other Chinese banks, ICBC has been undergoing major restructuring to get rid of mountains of bad debt, improve management and corporate governance. But Michael Nock of Doric Capital in Hong Kong says all Chinese banks still have a long way to go.
The big concern I have on the medium to longer term is, can they really make that sort of transition? Have they got the in-house expertise to really perform as a truly independent and private bank? I'm not sure that we're there yet.
ICBC is the third of China's big banks to go public. Its dual listing in Hong Kong and Shanghai is raising almost $22 billion. In Beijing, I'm Ruth Kirshner for Marketplace.
By the way, Hong Kong blue chippers set a new record high today before settling back a bit. On Wall Street, fat profit reports have investors buying stocks. The Dow hit another all-time closing high. It was up 0.25% to 12,163. The Nasdaq gained 1% to 2379. That's a 5.5-year high. The S&P 500 added 0.5% to 1389. After the bell, Microsoft said sales and profits were up last quarter. Microsoft stock has climbed 25% since June. Investors are licking their chops, waiting on Windows Vista and some new office software. A company going in the other direction, Timberland. The bootmaker comes out with its earnings this morning, and analysts think profits could be down by 40%. Diantha Parker tells us why Timberland's cool yellow boots aren't cool anymore.
The boot is called the 6-inch premium, and at one time was a fashion phenomenon, worn by everyone from construction workers to hip-hop celebrities. But the company's greatest asset became its Achilles heel as competitors came out with their own versions. As the market became more saturated, fashion grew tired of boots and rediscovered the sneaker. Analyst Mitch Cummets tracks the rugged footwear industry.
They've been a little off-trend in the boot category in general, and maybe their consumer is more interested in other product these days.
Timberland is now cutting back on production of the yellow boots to protect the brand and will be more selective about where they're sold. Cummets thinks the move will translate into better earnings for the company, perhaps as soon as this quarter. Winter's almost here, he says, and that's when people buy boots, even if they're out of style. I'm Diantha Parker for Marketplace.
And this is Marketplace. It's Friday, time for the job files. Today we hit the mean streets of New York, with a bodyguard, of course.
My name is George Celios. I am an executive protection specialist, a logistics specialist. Whoever's signing the checks is telling me what my job title is that day. This is definitely a boring job. I do not dress in camouflage or in tactical ninja outfits to go to work. I'm probably at my desk on my computer more than most people are. The gist of this job is avoid confrontation. When I first started this job, it was a wedding out in a public place, and there was a pretty big guy there looking to disrupt the wedding. The guy who hired me, a former Marine buddy of mine, all he did was slip the guy a $50 bill and ask him to leave. The guy said thank you, took the $50 and walked away. And I said, maybe there's something more to this job than being the big guy standing next to the protectee.
Today's job file was produced by Sally Herships. The Morning Report comes to you from American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. By Fellows. Millions of businesses worldwide choose Fellow Shredders for their shredding needs. Fellows, the bulldog of shredders. More at Fellows.com. And by LendingTree.com, where you can choose from up to four customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. LendingTree.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. The St. Louis Cardinals could win the World Series tonight. Of course, the Detroit Tigers might have something to say about that. The Tigers have been the Cardinals, or have been the Cinderella story this year, and some of that is due to baseball's collective bargaining agreement. The players and teams reached a new five-year deal this week. Business of Sports commentator Diana Nyad tells us about it.
The history of it is that when that devastating strike happened in 1994, Major League Baseball made a 10-year campaign to make sure that America's pastime didn't fade into the woodwork. And I think the biggest thing they did to make sure that, you know, all those fans around the country didn't just have the New York Yankees to root for and the Atlanta Braves, they did a deal called revenue sharing. And so that every team had to take 48%. You know, almost half of their local revenue and put it into a collective fund. Well, the Yankees didn't like it very much, but the Pittsburgh Pirates did. And certainly the Diamondbacks and the Marlins and the Angels did, and they wound up in the World Series. So the whole country was glad to see some new teams and get your local guys have actually a chance to make it to the big show. Well, this new collective bargaining agreement has gone a step further. They're going to bump down that 48% now to 31%. So a team like the Kansas City Royals, you know, that used to be such a great franchise in this country and has fallen so far behind, now they can take only 31% of all that local revenue that they have during the year instead of 48%, throw it into the pot, and that means they have got great incentives to get that local revenue up because they're going to keep a bigger piece of that pie.
Well, even with the Detroit Tigers in the World Series, you know, small market team, underdog, people pulling for it, the TV ratings are horrible.
Abysmal. I guess the third game was the lowest rated World Series game on television in history. And, you know, to my mind, though, all that means, Scott, is that the entire country would have rather seen the Subway Series, the Mets Yankees, or any of the New York teams go against, you know, or, you know, one of these guys, so we'd have a David Goliath kind of series. But if you look at the regular season, still, the rest of the country is feeling like my guys could make it. So the Tigers, once they get to the World Series, you know, maybe that interest falls off as a national interest.
And still, two-thirds, I read, of major league franchises are losing money.
I think that most analysts in the world of baseball say that all of that comes down to local television rights. I mean, you know, the Yankees is the most egregious example. George Steinbrenner owns the YES Network, so they take 100% of the profit of local TV. And when you get down to Kansas City and Tampa Bay and Pittsburgh, you know, those other cities struggle with just a tiny percent. All they sell is really the rights. And that's all the money they have coming in. So that's really the disparity.
All right, Diana, thanks a lot.
Scott, see you next time.
Diana Nyad is our Business of Sports commentator in Los Angeles. I'm Scott Jagow. Have a great weekend.
American Public Media.